Recyclico, making lithium ion last forever. Recyclico's patented recycling process achieves up to 100% recovery of battery metals from lithium-ion batteries for electric vehicles, including cobalt, lithium, nickel, manganese, and aluminum. Recyclico Battery Materials Incorporated trades on the TSX Venture AMY, on the OTCQB AMYZF, and Frankfurt ID4. For more information, visit recyclico.com or phone us at 778-574-4444. Recyclico, making lithium ion last forever.
You're listening to HowStreet.com Radio, available online at talkdigitalnetwork.com. Welcome to HowStreet.com Radio, the online source for market opinions. Here is Jim Goddard.
My guest is Tim Cyclesman Wood, editor of Cycles News and Views on cyclesman.com. Welcome back to the show, Tim.
Jim, thanks for having me. Happy New Year.
Yes, Gung Hoi Fat Choi, or Gung Hei Fat Choi, depending if you're speaking Mandarin or Cantonese. And there's another 300 ways to say it in Chinese. Tim, here we are, first show of the year for you. And how are things going so far?
Well, looking into 2023, what I see, first of all, let's start with commodities. I covered it in my December research letter in detail, but I think, I've said that we've had a 3-year cycle top in the commodity related indexes, occurred last April, May, June, depending on what index you're looking at and, how you're measuring it. But I think we're moving down into a 3-year cycle low, that we will see, later this year. Like I said, I have some targets and projections and stuff I cover in my, December letter. And then from there, I think that was being a 3-year cycle low, then obviously we start a new cycle and we swing up. Now I have some expectations for that, but we'll see. But the long and short of it is that in the immediate, foreseeable future, I think, this bounce that we've seen in gasoline and crude oil is going to continue lower, as we move down into that 3-year cycle low. And then I think the upswing is going to continue to put pressure overall, inflationary pressures on things that we've been seeing. I mean, my God, you go to the grocery store and you see it up every day. And I have some thoughts on that. I've been talking to some managers and so forth, but I digress. But anyway, a 3-year cycle low in commodities later this year. With equities, every indication is there is no question in my mind. We had the 4-year cycle top back in January of 22. And, we've seen a breath thrust here the last several weeks, which, in many cases is a positive indication, obviously. But in some cases it's not. And I've researched that thoroughly and covered that in the, January issue of Cycles News and Views. But this breath thrust, long and short of it, is that it is a test to the market. I think that this is not a sustainable bottom and that, the 4-year cycle low still lies ahead, I believe, in equities. But again, this is a test. So I'm open-minded to the possibility that, we could have seen a 4-year low, but I don't think that's the case. I think rather this is just a test before we see the next real leg down into the 4-year low. With the dollar, I believe we've seen the, 4-year cycle top. That's not totally confirmed yet, but I have pretty good preliminary evidence that the 4-year cycle top in the dollar is in. I think we're moving into an intermediate degree low, in the not too distant future. And then that bounce will tell the tale, once I get some, can see the structure of that cycle. But I believe we've probably, my assumption is, until proven otherwise, that we've probably seen the 4-year cycle low, or excuse me, the 4-year cycle top in the dollar. And then, looking at interest rates, can't confirm it yet, but, preliminary evidence suggests that maybe we have seen the, there's a 3-year cycle in the bond market, and maybe we've seen that 3-year cycle low in bonds. that's still being tested, but I believe there's evidence, like I said, preliminary evidence that that low has finally been made, meaning that we should start to see a toehold there for a turn in the long bond, which means we should be in the ballpark for perhaps a peaking in interest rates.
The Bank of Canada says it's halting its rate hikes for the time being. Do you think that the U.S. Fed's going to announce the same?
There you go. That's fundamental evidence of what I'm seeing with the cycles. Mm-hmm. If I could digress for a minute, you know, with what it would do with cycles work, you have statistics, you have an expectation. You know that if, for example, I'm just using this as of just pulling something out of the air, but let's say 80 or 90% or 70, or sometimes you can have a 100% statistic on something. It just depends. But if you can identify that, let's just say 80% of the times that you have a cycle of a certain duration, and it, that gives you guidance. It gives you an expectation, but you know that there are outliers. And so with that said, you know, there has been a 3-year cycle low in bonds due, you know, and it extended a little bit. I thought it bottomed in June. It pushed out into October. And now I was unaware of that comment that you just made, but that is more evidence that we may be seeing that. And with the Fed, you know, my prediction, if you will, I suspect they do a quarter because of my Fed model. I don't think they're going to halt yet, but I think that the rate of change with them raising rates is coming to an end. I see that this rate hiking cycle is been peculiar from the get go. We talked about that, but yes, I do think that's a sign that we're going to start to see this rate hiking cycle slow and eventually peak here. I think this year. And probably sooner than later.
Now, I know my boss hates me to talk about GICs, but would this be a good time to look at locking in a term deposit in your bank at the rates we're seeing now, or wait and see what the Fed does? Because if they're going to freeze, the banks are going to look at every opportunity not to pay their customers the money they're due.
Well, I don't want to give specific advice, but if you know that we should be getting close to the end of the rate, I mean, how close can you cut it? I think there's time to make that decision. I mean, people will see it, but I do think, again, I guess my answer is that we are getting close to the end of that, of this rate hiking cycle. I do believe that.
Mm-hmm. We'll have more with Tim Cyclesman Wood right after this.
Don't miss out. Stay informed. Receive the HowStreet.com weekly recap with thought-provoking podcasts, radio, and articles delivered to your inbox. Sign up for the HowStreet.com weekly recap on our homepage at HowStreet.com.
Welcome back. We're speaking with Tim Cyclesman Wood. Tim, on the inflation front, it's hitting especially hard at the grocery store. What kind of information do you have for us on that?
Well, you know, this grocery store thing it's caught my eye, as it has a lot of people. And I've been paying attention to things, you know, pre-COVID, for example, you know, I eat breakfast and eat eggs, and, you know, eggs seems to be the topic. It's the, you know, back in the, I read stories back in the 70s, I was a kid, so I don't remember it, whenever we had the sugar bubble. And, you know, they talked about how people would steal the sugar cubes off of the tables in the restaurants. And, you know, sugar cubes is something I hadn't thought about in a long time, but I remember reading the story. But, you know, used to, they'd have these little sugar cubes in a bowl or something and people would steal them. So they quit, you know, putting them on the table. It was so crazy with the sugar bubble. And it's kind of the same thing with, I think, that what we're seeing now with groceries and particularly eggs. I remember pre-COVID vividly. Going in the grocery store and seeing the prices because, you know, it was in the, same place, same time, bought them routinely, but it was $1.39, $1.59, $1.79, and that was for large, extra large or jumbo eggs. Well, now, you know, they're $6 and $7 a dozen here. I see the prices go up. You go in the store, you know, I pay attention. I'm watching. And so I go in the store before Thanksgiving and I notice that this 18 pack of extra large eggs was like six something. And then I go back and they were, and I don't know why I can remember the number because it's so easy to remember. You could not remember it. And it was $7.77 And I go back right after Thanksgiving, and they were $8.88. And the last time I was in that store, they were $9.29. And so it's just, it's like every trip to the store, you're seeing the increase with this. And I got to thinking about that and looking and just kind of researching a little bit. And I don't understand why, you know, you can go to Costco and you can still buy eggs for $4 a dozen, $4.20-something cents a dozen. So why is it that, you know, they're one price one place and one price another? And what I come up with is that it's somewhere in the middle. I talked to some store manager types because I was curious about the subject. You know, and when I say managers, I'm talking about at the corporate level. And they're telling me, and this kind of fits with some of the other data I've seen in interviews and such that on this topic, but they're telling me that the money is being made, the inflation is coming somewhere in the middle, that it's not, the farmer's not making the money, and the grocery store's not necessarily making the money. It's the people in the middle that are making the money. The squeeze is coming there. You know, if the food distributor raises the price of eggs on the store, then the store has to go up. But the farmer may not necessarily be making the money, and the store's not necessarily making the money. In fact, this one corporate manager told me, he said that their margins are actually down some because they're trying to keep prices down, but they keep getting squeezed. Now, I'm sure that's not a universal thing, but it's probably a common theme. And so a lot of this, my point is that, yes, I understand fuel prices are higher. I understand grain prices are higher. I understand the supply chain, the shortages, that sort of thing. But I think that this inflation thing, from what I'm seeing, is it's been a license to steal for corporations to squeeze the consumer even more. And I think a certain amount of this inflation is that. And then, looking back, charts and history is it tells the tale, and I'm not looking at the chart in front of me at this moment, but I believe it was in 2015 cattle prices spiked much higher than they are now. So the price of beef is not at a historical level, or if I remember the chart right, and I'm pretty sure on that, it's been a little while since I looked at it, but unless something has changed in the shorter term with that chart, we were well below those 2015 levels, but then look at the price of beef. So something doesn't line up. And, my conclusion is, like I said, this inflationary spiral has bled over into a business model that is just squeezing the consumer to death. And, I think that is a recipe ultimately for disaster.
Anytime.
You know, that's not a positive business model.
Yeah. I was also going to say they claim energy prices. Well, yes, last summer in Vancouver, we were paying $2.67 a liter, $10.68 a gallon for gasoline, but the price has dropped by a dollar or so here. And Vancouver pays the highest gasoline prices in North America. So we've seen those prices come way down for energy. Oil isn't going for all that much compared to what it was going for over the summer. Whenever they claim energy prices, that's bogus. The prices have come down.
Natural gas is way down. Natural gas, you know, I cover natural gas. We saw that top. Natural gas is way down. Look at lumber. Lumber is down. I forget the percentage, but lumber is way down. I mean, we called that one on the air. We talked about that when lumber was peaking, and so these things have come down, but the prices have not come down. So it's a squeeze on the consumer, but it's going to backfire. I think. I don't know how long it's going to take. Let me give you another example. This is interesting, I think. But yesterday I was at the gym and some of the guys were talking. And we got to talking about vehicles and the price of vehicles. And people are not paying it. I was just on the phone because one of the guys I was talking to yesterday, his wife's wanting to do something with a new vehicle. And I called one of the sales manager at the dealership that I know and was talking to him. And he's saying the same thing. The common theme is that people are pulling in the reins. People are not paying the price for these new vehicles. Because one, the price of the car, the maintenance issues with the car, with all the computerized stuff. I mean, when you have $2,000 rear view projection mirrors on it, you've crossed the line. I mean, that's just insanity. And so the common thing I'm seeing in my area from talking to people is that people are just saying no. and they're driving an older vehicle, or you know, when I say older vehicle, if they have a 4, 5, 6 year old vehicle, they're like, you know what? I think I'll keep my vehicle and my money in my pocket.
Well, another place price gouges, all the coffee shops have put up their prices. Ross Clark, friend of the show on This Week in Money, pointed out that coffee wholesale prices have dropped from $2.60 to $1.50. I don't know what the unit of measure they're using, maybe per pound, but that is a hell of a drop from $2.60 down to $1.50. So, obviously this, I call it gougeflation. There's nothing else for it. And it really is a test to see just how much the consumer will bear. And I, when you're talking about the 70s, I remember when the Hunt brothers tried to corner the silver market, and it went from, I'm guessing, $5 an ounce to $50 an ounce. Your dentist charged you much, much more for your fillings because they used silver at the time. Some still do. And then when the price of silver dropped down to what it was before, they never dropped their prices. Once they get this higher price, they never bring them down. Or they will by 10 cents, but they won't drop them by the full, you know, $1.50.
Yes, kind of like taxes. Once they're there, they never go away. But do you realize that natural gas is down 70% from its top in August? It's down 70% since August. And, you know, we covered this. I saw this top, called it the whole way in the research letters. I mean, I guess, so my point is number one, you know, we got it right. But number two, to your point, it's that savings, that cost savings, is so-called fuel, surplus charges, et cetera, that they're putting on people's bills, like utility bills. I see a fuel surplus charge on the
surcharge. It's just a surcharge. Yeah.
Exactly. But at one point they were saying it was because of fuel in a lot of cases. But what I'm saying is that these fuel prices have come way down, but yet the surcharges are still there.
Gougeflation. We got to call them out. A major grocery chain in Canada in November said, we're freezing our prices. But if the prices come down, that still means they're charging you the maximum. Because grocery price charges, I think, peaked in November, December.
Right.
So now they have promised to keep their prices high.
Right.
And that was pointed out by several commentators. I would like you to, you know something, if a grocery chain wanted to be honest, this is what the producer gets paid. And, my uncle produces beef cattle. So I could, you know, he could tell me how much it cost him to produce that pound of beef. What he gets at the, auction house, and then what you pay. Somebody in the middle is making a lot of money.
Exactly what I was just saying. Exactly. And lumber, not to cut you off, but lumber. I just looked up, lumber is off 70% from its highs. I don't have the data. I mean, I didn't get the price of lumber, say, a 2x4 at Home Depot in 21 versus now, but I guarantee it's not down 70%.
Yeah. So I think it's time for the regular consumer to call them out. And, of course, your local store will say, well, we have no choice. Well, maybe it's time if we want action on. I mean, I always said, you know, when the price of gasoline's record high, just boycott one particular retailer. Don't go to them for a week. Guess who's going to drop their prices?
Don't go to them. Don't go to them at all.
Yeah, that's what I mean.
I have started doing that, and I know other people who have started doing that out of principle. And you know, for example, I know it's a minor thing, but on the little egg example. You're telling me that if one store can sell, for example, eggs for $4, why are they $7 somewhere else when it's a comparable egg? And I'm not comparing apples to oranges with range-free versus, no, I'm talking a freaking egg. And so, and I've seen the same thing with beef. One of the local grocery stores, you know, my mother-in-law was here and she wanted a roast. She likes roast. She wanted me to cook a roast. So I go to the grocery store and it was, they didn't have anything big enough. They had a small roast and it was like $8.99 a pound for the roast, and it wasn't big enough anyway, but I'm like, I'm not paying that, and that's too small. I walk out the door. And then I go to a small scale meat market, and it was still high, but it was $6.99. And so I'm thinking, well, this larger chain, they have much more buying power than the smaller little butcher shop, but the smaller little butcher shop was cheaper. And so, again, it's another example of your price gouging. It's exactly what's happening.
On the shipping front, a year ago, they couldn't find enough room on the port. So many containers were coming in. Now, right here in Vancouver, where I live, I overlook a container port. There are no ships there. There haven't been any ships there for several days. And this will happen. It used to be packed. The ships were jammed in as close as they could get them. Now you could fire a cannon and hit nothing.
Hmm.
So obviously when they said shipments are down and then supply chain shortages, if there is, somebody isn't shipping something and we get so many goods from China, something's going on in China. We're not getting the stuff we're used to. I don't know if it's a trade war of some kind. They're trying to cut us off, or COVID's ramped up to such a point that nobody can work because they had that massive lockdown where nobody could go out to work.
Well, I think, I think that this gougeflation that we're seeing is a failure. It's a disaster for failure. It's a greed driven recipe for disaster. And I think that what we're going to see when we turn up out of this coming 3-year cycle low, we're going to see increased pressure. Of course, you know, because we turn up out of the cycle, we're going to see continued increased pressure on commodity prices. And I think eventually we're going to get to the tipping point. And I think that between the upswing with the next 3-year cycle and this gougeflation price modeling that we're seeing, it's going to be the last straw. And my prediction is this ends, and I stick to it, in a deflationary spiral that is going to be hell to pay. And I can't wait to see it. We need it.
Tim, any final thoughts on what we're seeing here on the stock markets?
Yeah, it's a tremendous test. A technical test to the market, what we've seen here with this breath thrust. But I think the 4-year cycle low is still ahead of us. So until I see evidence to prove otherwise, that's where I'm at. I'm still in that camp. And, it's just treading water here at this point. And I would be very cautious with the market here. I think this is some false hope we're seeing.
Tim, thank you so much for chatting with us.
Thank you, Jim.
My guest has been Tim Cyclesman Wood, editor of Cycles News and Views on cyclesman.com. If you have any questions for Tim or any of our guests, you can send them to info@howstreet.com. Our YouTube channel is Talk Digital Network. Find us on Twitter at How Street. I'm Jim Goddard. Thank you for listening.
Comments made on HowStreet.com radio are an expression of opinion only and should not be construed in any matter whatsoever as recommendations to buy or sell any financial instrument at any time. Available online at TalkDigitalNetwork.com, HowStreet.com radio is a production of HowStreet Media Incorporated.